Mathematics anxiety and stereotype threat. Shared mechanisms, negative consequences, and promising interventions. By Aaron A. Maloney, Marjorie W. Schaefer, and C.N. L. Balock, all from the University of Chicago. Published in Research in Mathematics Education, Volume 15, Edition 2, pages 115 to 128, published on June 14, 2013. Abstract. Proficiency in mathematics is a major advantage in industrialized nations. Here we discuss several emotional impediments to mathematics achievement, namely mathematics anxiety and stereotype threat. Synthesizing findings from empirical studies in the fields of cognitive, social, and educational psychology, as well as neuroscience, we discuss some of the ways that affective factors can negatively impact mathematical performance and lead to avoidance of mathematics and mathematics-related fields. We bring together the mathematics anxiety and stereotype threat literatures by suggesting that these two phenomena share a common underlying mechanism, which causes disturbance in mathematics performance. We end by suggesting a number of potential interventions aimed at reducing the negative consequences of anxiety and stereotype threat on mathematics performance. Interventions fueled by an understanding of the cognitive and neural mechanisms by which mathematics anxiety and stereotype threat work to impact performance. Introduction. Math. I hate math. It makes me feel all wiggly inside. During the high-stakes test last year, I thought I was going to throw up when we did the math part. I didn't, but I always feel that way, even when we just line up for math class. In parentheses, 10-year-old girl when asked to write about her least favorite subject. The above quote, taken from a 10-year-old girl's journal, illustrates a common experience in the classroom. Anxiety. Most students want to perform well in academic settings, but for many, including the student quoted above, feelings of anxiety can negatively impact their performance. In today's education system, students and teachers are constantly being evaluated. Students are often bombarded with assessments, weekly assessments, unit tests, federally mandated high-stakes testing, and even practice tests for the high-stakes tests. But what happens when these measures don't accurately capture a student's knowledge or skill? The above quote begs this question. Would this student have performed differently on the high-stakes test that she described if she had not felt wiggly or sick to her stomach? The effects of anxiety are not limited to physical symptoms, such as those described above. Indeed, anxiety can impact student performance on in-class assessments and standardized tests, as well as decisions regarding which career paths to pursue. In the present review, we summarize psychological and neuroscience research highlighting, specifically, the negative effects of anxiety on mathematics performance. We also talk about a related negative performance phenomenon in mathematics, namely stereotype threat, whereby people underperform relative to their ability merely because they are aware of a negative stereotype about how they should perform. Example, a female student aware of the stereotype that boys are better than girls in math. We discuss how these two phenomena, despite having different ideologies, may impact performance via the same mechanism, and then we provide evidence that, for many students, scores on high-stakes tests are often depressed as a function of the test taker's anxiety and feelings of stereotype threat. Importantly, we also demonstrate how such negative affective factors can be systematically and objectively studied in laboratory and classroom settings, thus setting the stage for the development of interventions designed to alleviate them. We end by highlighting tools that will hopefully prove to be effective means of reducing underperformance in mathematics in the classroom. Mathematics anxiety. Mathematics anxiety refers to the negative reaction that many people experience when placed in situations that require math problem solving. This reaction can range from seemingly minor frustration to overwhelming emotional and physiological disruption. In fact, it has been argued that math anxiety can be considered a genuine phobia, given that it is a state anxiety reaction, shows elevated physiological arousal, and is a stimulus-learned fear. Strong negative reactions to math have long caught the attention of educators. For example, in an anecdotal report, Go, 1954, a school teacher noted that many of her students, predominantly the females, were exhibiting emotional difficulties with math and were failing to learn the material. While this was one of the first mentions of what is now known as math anxiety in an education or psychology journal, it was not until years later that Richardson and Suen, 1972, created the Math Anxiety Rating Scale, or MARS as an acronym, which served as a catalyst for further investigation of math anxiety, spurring a plethora of research into the topic. Using self-report scales such as the MARS, researchers have been able to grasp a firm understanding of the construct of math anxiety and its consequences. Indeed, much of the early work on this topic is eloquently summarized in Hembree's 1990 meta-analysis. Highlights from Hembree include the findings that people high in math anxiety, as measured by the MARS, hold several negative attitudes about math. They believe that math is not useful, they are unmotivated to engage in math, and they tend to avoid elective math courses in math-intensive careers, i.e. science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM. Not only do people high in math anxiety dislike and avoid math, they also perform poorly in their math courses and on standardized tests, which can greatly limit a person's options for universities and career paths. Interestingly, research indicates that once students have developed math anxiety, their levels of anxiety tend to remain relatively constant, at least throughout middle and high school. As such, math anxiety is often discussed as a relatively stable trait. Math anxiety has been shown to be related to poor performance on a wide array of tasks, ranging from simple numerical tasks such as counting objects and comparing numbers, to more complex tasks such as addition with carrying and multi-step calculations. While much research has focused on developing reliable tools to assess math anxiety, there is considerably less work on its causes. However, studies assessing the impact of various teaching styles on student anxiety may provide insight into the development of math anxiety. For example, Turner et al. 2002 examined factors that led children to avoid math and concluded that one cause of avoidance was having a teacher who conveyed a high demand for correctness in math but provided little cognitive or motivational support during lessons. Turner et al. Speculated that students with such teachers may feel vulnerable to public displays of incompetence. Consistent with this claim, Ashcraft, 2002, reports that his participants often cite public embarrassment in math as a cause of their anxiety. Further research by Balak et al., 2010, suggests that highly math-anxious teachers affect their students' endorsement of negative stereotypes about math. Balak et al. Assessed math anxiety in a sample of American teachers, all female, of first and second grade, 7 to 9-year-old students, as well as the math achievement and gender stereotype endorsement of the students in these teachers' classrooms. There was no relation between a teacher's math anxiety and her students' math achievement at the beginning of the school year. However, by the end of the year, the more math anxious a teacher was, the lower her students' math achievement and the higher the likelihood that her students would endorse the stereotype that, in quotes, boys are good at math and girls are good at reading. Interestingly, this pattern was limited to female students, suggesting that seeing female teachers anxious about math provided information to same-gendered students about their own ability in math. Balak et al. 2010 did not report the students' level of math anxiety, thus we cannot know whether having a math-anxious teacher leads to increased math anxiety in the students. Nonetheless, it is likely that such characteristics in teachers are risk factors for the development of math anxiety in their students. In addition to the above research suggesting that math anxiety may be socially transmitted, Maloney and colleagues have argued that some people may, in fact, be cognitively predisposed to develop math anxiety. Maloney and colleagues argue that students who present with deficits in the basic building blocks of math are likely to struggle with math and consequently develop a great deal of anxiety when engaging in math tasks. This theory is based on evidence that high math anxious adults perform more poorly than their low math anxious peers on tests of basic numerical and math abilities. For example, when presented with a display of squares, ranging a number from 1 to 9, and asked to enumerate the set, example, how many squares are there, high and low math anxious adults perform equally well when a small number of squares is presented. However, as the number of squares increases from 5 to 9, the high math anxious students become increasingly slower and less accurate than their low anxious peers. Maloney and colleagues also demonstrated that when adult students were shown a number ranging from 1 to 4 or 6 to 9 and were asked to simply indicate whether that number was lower or higher than 5, the high math anxious students took longer to do so than the students low in math anxiety. It is against this background that Maloney and colleagues argue that math anxiety is associated with and possibly driven by a low-level deficit in numerical processing. The above findings may appear to suggest that math anxiety is simply a proxy for poor math achievement, and while this may have some validity, it is certainly not the entire story. Indeed, high math-anxious students tend to perform poorly on tests of math ability, but interventions that are designed to reduce anxiety have been shown to yield significant increases in math test scores for highly math-anxious individuals. Thus, for highly anxious students, their scores on math tests are not simply a representation of their math knowledge, but rather their scores are likely depressed as a result of their anxiety. Math anxiety is clearly an impediment to math achievement. That said, not all people with high math anxiety perform poorly in math. Lyons and Baylock, 2011, used functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRI, to investigate whether neural differences exist between the high math anxious students who perform poorly in math and those who, despite their anxiety, perform well in math. In Lyons and Baylock's 2011 work, all participants, while in the MRI scanner, performed a mental arithmetic task where they had to identify whether an arithmetic problem had been correctly solved. For example, A times B minus C equals D. And a difficulty matched word verification task where the participant had to decide whether a letter string, if reversed, spelled an actual English word. Not surprisingly, the researchers found that, on average, high math anxious individuals performed worse than their non-math anxious peers on the math questions. In contrast, both groups performed the same on the word problems. This distinction is important in that it demonstrates that the poor performance associated with math anxiety is specific to math and math-related tasks. In other words, high math anxious students are not simply underachieving across the board. Crucially, in the Lyons and Baylock 2011 study, before each set of problems, individuals saw a cue, a colored box, which indicated whether the next set of trials was going to be a math set or a word set. The beauty of this paradigm is that it allowed the researchers to separate the neural activity associated with the anticipation of doing math from the neural activity of actually doing the math. Lyons and Baylock found that, when faced with the prospect of an upcoming math problem, some highly math-anxious individuals showed more activation of a frontoparietal network known to be involved in the control of negative emotions than others. In fact, the activation of this region predicted success among the highly math-anxious individuals. The more the highly math-anxious individuals activated this frontoparietal network before they even engaged in the math, the better they performed on the math task. To explain their finding, Lyons and Baylock suggested that the successful high math-anxious participants may be engaging in some degree of reappraisal before they begin the math task, and that this reappraisal helps them control their anxiety and ultimately perform up to their potential on the math test. From Lyons and Baylock, as well as Ashcraft and Kirk, 2001, we begin to see evidence of the additional cognitive burden that math anxiety places on math-anxious individuals and the negative ramifications of this burden on their math performance. However, math anxiety is not the only condition that creates suboptimal performance in math. Indeed, stereotype threat causes similar cognitive impairments that also lead to underperformance in math. Interestingly, both math anxiety and stereotype threat are thought to share a common underlying mechanism. In the following section, we discuss stereotype threat, highlighting the quintessential findings and what they mean for performance in math overall, and then discuss the underlying mechanism common to both, which is thought to cause much of the poor performance associated with these two phenomena. Stereotype threat. Stereotype threat refers to the phenomenon whereby individuals perform more poorly than their ability dictates on a task when a relevant negative stereotype is made salient in the performance situation. For example, women perform worse when the stereotype threat that women are bad at math is made salient than when it is not. African American students perform worse when they believe a test is designed to measure intelligence than when they do not. And white men perform worse in a sports contest when they believe the contest is about natural ability as compared to sport intelligence. It is believed that the poor performance results from concern that if an individual fails, then they might be viewed as confirming a negative social stereotype. In the initial demonstration of the stereotype threat phenomenon, researchers asked African American and white students to perform a subset of problems taken from the verbal section of the graduate record exam, the GRE. When the task was described as a problem-solving task that was not diagnostic of ability, both groups performed the same. However, when the task was described as diagnostic of intelligence, the African American students performed significantly worse than the white students. Steele and Aronson, 1995, theorized that describing the test as a measure of intelligence activated a stereotype about race and intelligence. The end result was that the African American students, being made aware of the stereotype, underperformed, or choked, in quotes, only to perform in a stereotypical manner. While the first empirical demonstration of this effect dealt with stereotypes about African Americans' performance on tests of verbal ability, subsequent research has demonstrated that the stereotype threat effect can apply to virtually anyone, so long as a stereotype exists for both the activity being tested and the group to which the individual belongs. Of particular importance to the current paper is the finding that women are quite susceptible to experiencing stereotype threat in situations where they are to perform math. For example, Baylock, Rydell, and McConnell, 2007, tested women on a multi-step math problem. They had two groups, a stereotype group and a control group. Both groups first did a set of math problems, which served as a measure of baseline level of their math ability. Then, the stereotype group was told that Stochastic was being used to investigate why women do worse than men on math, while the control group was told that the researchers were studying problem solving. Both groups then completed a post-test of math ability. In the threatened group, accuracy dropped 10% from baseline to post-test, whereas the control group actually saw an increase in accuracy. Indeed, stereotype threat can be induced in women taking a math test by simply asking them to identify their gender before the test. While nearly everyone is susceptible to stereotype threat, there are individual differences in the degree to which people are affected by it. Indeed, not all individuals within a stigmatized group are destined to perform poorly. Various factors have been identified among those predisposed to choke under stereotype threat pressure. For example, people who place a strong importance on success in a particular domain are more likely to perform worse under stereotype threat than those who do not place a high degree of importance on success in the domain. One theory is that for those with strong domain identity, success and failure becomes very self-relevant, and thus the consequence of failing is not only confirming a negative stereotype, but is also a threat to one's identity. Furthermore, the degree to which one identifies with a particular group, example, gender identity, increases the likelihood that one will perform poorly when faced with a negative stereotype about their group. Finally, an individual's own prior awareness and negative societal expectations of success also strongly influences the degree to which the student will fall prey to stereotype threat. As such, research has indicated that women who value math, identify strongly with being a woman, and are familiar with the social stereotype that women are not strong in math, are the most likely candidates to fall prey to the pressure of stereotype threat. Math anxiety, stereotype threat, and working memory. Given that both math anxiety and stereotype threat lead to underachievement in math, it is no surprise that a great deal of research has been dedicated to understanding these phenomena. Although math anxiety and stereotype threat are thought to be distinct constructs with differing etiologies, researchers studying these phenomena have come to some similar conclusions regarding how affective factors interact with the cognitive processes that underlie math. Specifically, both math anxiety and stereotype threat are thought to compromise the working memory capacity that individuals have available for math performance. Working memory is commonly viewed as a limited capacity system that integrates, computes, stores, and manipulates the information to which a person is attending. Although there are a number of working memory models that differ on both structural and functional dimensions, this paper focuses on one of the most commonly accepted models, Baddeley's 2000 multi-component model. According to this framework, there exists a domain general central executive that controls and coordinates the information that is active in working memory at any given time. There are also two domain-specific short-term stores, the phonological loop for acoustic/verbal information and the visual spatial sketch pad for visual images. A fourth component, the episodic buffer, serves to bind information from the phonological loop, the visual spatial sketch pad, and long-term memory into a unitary episodic representation. Perhaps more relevant to the present discussion, however, is the importance of working memory for math performance. While adults can perform very basic arithmetic by directly retrieving the answer, more complex calculations require working memory resources. In terms of both math anxiety and stereotype threat, when the individual begins to experience negative thoughts and ruminations about the consequences of doing poorly, these thoughts can occupy valuable working memory resources that would otherwise be allocated to the math task at hand. An individual ends up in essentially a dual task environment in which they are both attending to the negative thoughts and attempting the math problems. As a result, math performance suffers. Evidence supporting the notion that math anxiety causes an online reduction in working memory capacity comes from a number of empirical studies, with the first being work by Ashcraft and Kirk, 2001. Ashcraft and Kirk presented high and low math anxious individuals with addition problems. Importantly, they manipulated the working memory demands of the problems by having problems that either required a carry operation in order to be answered correctly, making them questions that make high demands on working memory, or did not require a carry operation, making them less demanding questions in this respect. The participants performed these calculations under high and low verbal working memory loads. They were presented with either two letters, so low working memory load, or six letters, high working memory load, before each addition problem. And after participants responded to the problem, they were asked to recall the letters in order. Ashcraft and Kirk hypothesized that if math anxiety ties up working memory resources, then as questions become more working memory demanding, the performance differences between high and low math anxious students should become increasingly larger. This was indeed the case. What is most interesting, however, is that on carry problems, the high math anxious individuals made approximately 40% errors in the high working memory load condition, whereas their low math anxious peers made approximately 20% errors. This error difference was much larger than it was on the carry problems under low load. These findings suggest that math anxiety is not simply a proxy for poor math skill. If it was, then you would not expect the high math anxious individuals to suffer significantly more than the low math anxious people on problems in the high relative to low working memory load conditions, as the problems in both conditions involved carry operations. Rather, these findings are more parsimonious with the claim that high math anxious individuals suffer from a decreased working memory capacity relative to their non-math anxious peers when they do math. As a result, math anxious individuals experience a large decrement on the working memory demanding math questions when they are paired with an additional large memory load. This study is important as it is one of the first empirical studies to demonstrate a potential mechanism by which math anxiety is related to poor math performance. It also sheds light on the importance of conducting empirical research around issues of affect and anxiety in math. Namely, work such as that of Ashcraft and Kirk, 2001, goes against the notion that math anxiety is purely a proxy for poor math skills, and thus sets the stage for exploring the negative condition and emotional consequences of math anxiety and how to alleviate them. Similarly, research in the stereotype threat literature also suggests that, when threatened, people experience negative thoughts and rumination, which leads to a temporary reduction in working memory capacity and, consequently, poor performance. Just as the empirical work by Ashcraft and Kirk was pivotal for our understanding of math anxiety, empirical work by Schmader and Johns, 2003, greatly furthered our understanding of stereotype threat. Schmader and Johns had women complete a working memory task in which they had to evaluate math equations while remembering words for later recall, and also a difficult math task either in a stereotype threat or no threat condition. They found that women in the stereotype threat condition, where the test was described as a measure of math ability, showed reduced working memory capacity and poorer math test performance relative to the control group. Furthermore, working memory capacity acted as a mediator between stereotype threat and poor math performance, suggesting a causal relationship. Put another way, both stereotype threat and working memory capacity predicted math performance, but when working memory capacity was controlled for, stereotype threat no longer predicted math performance. Thus, it appears that the mechanism by which stereotype threat is related to math performance is via reduction in working memory capacity. Both math anxiety and stereotype threat are thought to share a similar mechanism, by which math performance is disrupted. As such, it follows that interventions that are designed to limit this working memory reduction may serve as promising remedies for both math anxiety and stereotype threat. Below, we detail two such interventions. Remediation of math anxiety and stereotype threat. In light of the evidence that negative thoughts and worries causes students to underperform in math, several researchers are currently looking to develop remediation techniques to help increase performance in math anxious and stereotype students. Particularly promising are interventions that are designed to combat the effects of negative thoughts and ruminations on working memory capacity. One such intervention involves the use of expressive writing. For example, Ramirez and Baylock, 2011, asked high school students 10 minutes before an upcoming exam to write about their feelings regarding the exam. Ramirez and Baylock theorized that having the students engage in an expressive writing exercise would help to alleviate the intrusive thoughts that result from anxiety related to performance, and thus would free up working memory resources. They took measures of students' test anxiety 6 weeks before their final exam. previous research has indicated a negative relation between test anxiety and test performance similar to that seen in math anxiety and stereotype threat. Then, on the day of the final exam, Ramirez and Balog asked about half of the students to think about a topic that would not be in their exam for 10 minutes, the control condition, and asked the other half of the students to write openly about their feelings towards the upcoming exam for 10 minutes, the expressive writing group. The results indicated that the expressive writing exercise was indeed successful, as the students in the expressive writing group had higher overall scores than those who did not write about the upcoming test. Ramirez and Balog, 2011, were further interested in investigating whether all students in the expressive writing condition benefited equally by the exercise, or if some students were helped more than others. They hypothesized that perhaps the students who suffered the most from test anxiety would receive the biggest benefit. To test this idea, the authors used the test anxiety scores collected prior to the experiment and divided the students into two groups, those with the highest levels of test anxiety and those with the lowest. Sure enough, the students with the highest levels of test anxiety were the same students who benefited the most from the expressive writing exercise. Indeed, the high test anxious students who engaged in expressive writing had final exam scores that were as high as the low test anxious students. Interestingly, the simple act of writing alone was not enough to equate the two groups. When Ramirez and Balog asked students to write about their day, they found there was no significant benefit from the writing. While the expressive writing technique was first applied to address test anxiety, recent research indicates that it is also effective in increasing math scores in math anxious students. Thus, expressive writing may have a wide variety of applications. Another way to alleviate the effects of anxiety on working memory is to teach anxious students to reappraise their arousal, or, put another way, to recontextualize the situation. Schmatter and colleagues have demonstrated that there are at least two ways that students can be taught to reappraise their anxiety when under stereotype threat. For example, Jamieson et al. 2010 had students come into the lab and take a practice test for an upcoming high-stakes test. Half of the students were told that arousal actually helped with performance, while the other half was told nothing. Interestingly, the students in the reappraisal condition performed significantly better than the control group, both on the practice exam and also on the actual high-stakes test months later. In another study, Johns, Schmeider, and Martins, 2005, were able to eliminate the effect of stereotype threat by simply teaching women about the phenomenon and the anxiety that it might produce. Men and women completed difficult math problems that were described either as a problem-solving task, the control group, or as a math test, the stereotype threat group. A third group was also told that the task was a math test, a stereotype induction. But participants were additionally informed that stereotype threat could make women feel more anxious, the reappraisal group. The study replicated the standard finding that women performed worse than men when the problems were described as a math test, and the women did not differ from the men in the control group. Importantly, women did not differ from men in the condition in which they learned about stereotype threat. In other words, simply teaching the women about stereotype threat allowed them to reappraise the arousal that they felt and consequently inoculated them against stereotype threat. Given that Lyons and Balog, 2011, found that high math anxious students who succeeded in math activated areas of the brain known to be involved in reappraising negative emotions before they took part in a math task, the above-mentioned reappraisal interventions hold promise for eradicating the negative impact of both math anxiety and stereotype threat on math performance. Although the aforementioned interventions may prove effective remediations for both math anxiety and stereotype threat, it is important to point out that while math anxiety and stereotype threat are both thought to impact online working memory capacity, they are not thought to arise for the same reasons. As such, while it is important to have interventions that serve to decrease the impact of anxiety on performance in math, it is also important to have interventions that serve to prevent this anxiety from ever developing. We next discuss some potential methods of preventing the development of math anxiety and stereotype threat. With regard to math anxiety, there are currently no known interventions designed to prevent its onset. This is, in large part, because the exact etiology of math anxiety remains unknown. That said, Maloney and colleagues' research, indicating that math anxiety may stem from a basic deficit in numerical processing, suggests that children who present with poor number processing skills may be the most likely to develop math anxiety. If this is indeed the case, then for children who present with a numerical processing deficit early on in development, the focus should be on increasing their numerical processing skills. It is possible that employing training methodologies that focus on strengthening numerical skills may be a useful tool for the children most at risk of developing math anxiety. Further, the research by Balick et al. 2010, demonstrating that teachers with high math anxiety can transmit their stereotypes to their students, suggests that interventions to decrease a teacher's level of math anxiety may result in the reduction, or even elimination, of math anxiety in hundreds of students over the course of their career. In fact, work by Took and Lindstrom, 1998, suggests that teaching interventions can be developed which serve to decrease levels of math anxiety in teachers, i.e., teaching pre-service teachers to focus on how children learn math rather than teaching them the actual math. Furthermore, given that math-anxious teachers can influence their female students in terms of endorsement of negative gender stereotypes about girls and math, it is feasible that girls in the classrooms of female math-anxious teachers may experience stereotype threat. Thus, if we can employ some of the previously mentioned reappraisal techniques, both with the teachers and with young children, then we may be able to prevent young girls from falling prey to the negative consequences of stereotype threat as it pertains to math. Conclusions. In the current paper, we have discussed the negative consequences of students' anxiety on assessments of math proficiency and have argued that, for many students, math tests are capturing far more than their math knowledge. While highlighting some of the various experimental methods used to examine the influence of affective factors on math performance, we have demonstrated that, indeed, for many students, their scores on tests of math achievement are depressed by anxieties felt towards math. Synthesizing research from the studies of math anxiety and stereotype threat, we have argued that performance anxiety co-opts valuable working memory resources that are necessary for complex math. We further argue that it may be the case that some students are cognitively predisposed to develop math anxiety and that some students are more likely to fall victim to stereotype threat. Finally, we have suggested methods for reducing the negative consequences of anxiety and stereotype threat on math. Here, we summarized many of the newest advancements in math anxiety and stereotype threat research. While much progress has been made in recent years, there are a number of interesting questions that have yet to be answered, one of which is the question of cultural differences in math anxiety and stereotypes about math. While it is clear that math anxiety is prevalent in North America and in Europe, further research may want to examine the profiles of math anxiety in different locations to determine whether antecedents, age of acquisition, and remediations are the same across various cultures. With respect to social stereotypes about math, research indicates that the social stereotype that men are more skilled in math than women is one that is very widely held. Not only is the gender stereotype widely held, but nation-level stereotypes about math strongly predict gender gaps within nations, suggesting that girls in many countries can fall prey to stereotypes about who is skilled in math. As demonstrated by the work reviewed here, empirical research can help elucidate the cognitive mechanisms that drive the relationship between negative math-related emotional responses and poor math performance, and can also help answer questions about cultural variation. Such research allows for thorough understanding of the factors that can influence students' achievement in math and is essential for creating effective performance environments that ensure all students achieve their best in school.